Last week we kicked off our summer series entitled Influencers, and you've heard that term before. It's not a really old one, but it's one that's been around for a little bit here. And there's a lot of different definitions of the term influencers, but the one I'm using for this series is this. It is an individual who has the power to affect purchase decisions, the purchase decisions of others because of their authority, knowledge, or relationship with their audience. And that's true. I mean, the business of influencers and marketing strategies behind it and the money behind all of that is huge, and it's just growing more and more and more. I mean, this generation growing up right now is the most influenced generation in history. I mean, what? You got like TikTok, and every 15 minutes there's a new trend. You got the latest dance craze going, or dance challenge going on. There's all the get ready with me videos. Have you seen those? My daughter's roommate in college, she makes those. You know, every morning I'm getting ready, and she's doing all her stuff, and you know, she loves to do that. So we got all kinds of folks creating all kinds of content these days. Some good, some not good. You got influencers showing us their perfect lives, right? Well, you got to remember that not everything you read and see on the internet is true. So these perfect lives, I guarantee you, are not so perfect. But how much time? We spend a lot of time these days, you know, just scrolling. You know, scrolling through TikTok or Instagram or Facebook and all that. I mean, how much time do we spend looking at this stuff? You know, with all these influencers filling our minds, all these different voices, you know, influencing us. The looks, the thing, all kinds of things. That's why it's important to think about and to reflect on who is influencing. Who is influencing your thoughts, your identity, who you are, what you do. And so this morning, as we continue in this series, we're going to look at another influencer in the scriptures. This is an influencer, though, who had no platform, had no videos, no TikTok or Instagram, no hype. He just had a powerful prayer. So if you have a Bible, and I encourage you to get one or pull it up on your app right now, we're going to be looking at 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament, okay? So you got 1 Kings, 2 Kings, then you get to Chronicles. And so 1 Chronicles, is where, chapter 4 specifically, is where we're going to be this morning. But let me just say this about 1 Chronicles. It's probably one of the most boring, okay, books of the entire Bible, okay? I mean, even the most enthusiastic of Bible readers will find this boring, okay? It can put you to sleep in a heartbeat. I mean, if you can't go to sleep at night, just open your Bible and start reading 1 Chronicles. And I guarantee you, it'll put you to sleep. And because it's... And the reason why is because there are over 600 genealogies in the first 5 chapters. All right? So it's just name after name after name. It's genealogy after genealogy after genealogy in the first 5 chapters of 1 Chronicles. Not exciting kind of reading. Okay? And yet, in the midst of all of these genealogies, 42 names deep in chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles, there's one name that literally leaps off the page. This name makes us take a second look. And the name is, you probably heard it because there's been a book written about all kinds of things, but it's the name Jabez. And chucked within all of these genealogies, the writer pauses, all right, pauses to give us Jabez, and not just to name him as part of Judah's genealogy, but to give us this prayer. Out of all the ones, this is the only place where the biblical writer pauses to give us this prayer. And so here it is, and we'll put it on the screen for you. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my horizons. Let your hand be with me and keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So here's Jabez, probably just a normal guy, but he's been saddled with this label, all right, from the moment of his birth, right? His mother gives him the name Pain, one who literally causes or brings pain. That's what Jabez means, all right? One who causes or brings pain. Now, I can tell you when my wife, Mindy, and I were considering names for our children, pain was not one of them. Now, they brought us some pain through the years, okay, like all children do. But never did we entertain the thought that we're going to name our kid Pain. All right? But that choice really shouldn't surprise us because, I mean, just look at what parents name their kids, have and continue to do. I mean, there's some really interesting names that parents have given their children. Like, I was looking some up this week. Rob Kardashian, you know, all those Kardashians, he named one of his kids Dream. Dream. Don't know why, just did. Actress Shane Sossaman, she's the movie A Knight's Tale, if you remember that, of fame. She was in that movie. She named one of her sons, or a son, Audio Science. Seriously. Audio Science. Maybe she's half, you know, half a fan or something. I don't know. But Audio Science, name of her son. Gwen Stefani. She named her second child. Now, this is before, you know, her latest husband. But she named her second child Zuma Nesta Rock. Zuma Nesta Rock. Mm-mm. Jerry Halliwell, Ginger Spice, okay? She named her daughter Bluebell Madonna. Bluebell Madonna. I'm not making these up, okay? I mean, imagine sitting in, you know, in class and your professors is announcing the names, you know, checking attendance and, you know, Kim Curtis, here, Bluebell Madonna. Bluebell Madonna, here. I mean, imagine living with that. So I'm not sure what these parents were thinking, but I guess you could give them some points for creativity. Unlike George Foreman, you remember him, the boxer George Foreman? He has five sons. Guess what he named them all? George Foreman, seriously. Every one of them has the exact same name. There's George Edward Foreman the Jr., all right? George Edward Foreman Jr., Foreman Jr. Then there's George Edward Foreman the Third. Then there's the Fourth. Then there's the Fifth. Then there's the Sixth. And this is what Dad George Foreman said. I named all my sons the same so they would always have something in common. Well, at least George and others didn't name their child Pain, though. I mean, imagine thumbing through a baby book at Barnes & Noble and saying, oh, this is the perfect name. Let's name our kid Pain. But that's what Jabez's moms did. Now, in biblical times, that was your name was important. It meant something. It defined your destiny. It defined, you know, it gave you an identity. It was a predictor of your future. And so every time someone said, hey, Jabez, kick that ball, they were saying, Jabez, you're a pain. Every time they said, Jabez, make the catch, you know, they're literally saying, Jabez, you're a pain. You're a pain in the rear end. I mean, what an awful label to live with. Imagine growing up with that name, being tattooed with that label. And yet it happens all the time. Now, growing up, I was pretty small for my age, okay? I wasn't a big guy. I mean, never became one either, but, you know, kindergarten all the way through high school and college, again, I was usually one of the kind of the smallest. And so naturally, people gave me all kinds of names pointing to that, like Shrimp or Squirt or Little Man, you know, things like that. That's what I grew up with hearing a lot. In essence, what were they saying, basically? Well, you're small, right? You're not big enough. You need to grow some more. And so, again, not the kind of labels any kid wants to hear. I mean, probably at some time in our lives, we've been tagged with a name that we wish we hadn't been, right? That was negative. That was troublesome at some point. Maybe it was a parent, a peer, a coworker, a friend that tagged you with a label, with a title. And the problem is when they're negative like that, the more we hear them, the more we have a tendency to live into them or live down to them, to believe them. And they can begin to limit us or control us. And someone else's prediction can become our reality if we're not careful. And yet that is the total opposite of what God, you know, God desires for us, not to live down to something, but to live up to what God has planned, has pictured for us, has painted for us. I mean, the scripture proclaims we are created in the image of God, fearfully and wonderfully made. And so for me, not being a tall person, I knew that, you know, I'm probably not going to be able to dunk a basketball on a 10-foot goal. Now, I got pretty good on an 8-foot goal, but not a 10-foot goal, all right? But I also began to discover, you know what, there's some advantages to being small. I mean, I was the person who could get in tight spaces, places when no one else could. I found that I was quicker and I was faster than most other people. I could eat anything and not gain any kind of weight. You know? So I found out that I was unique as anybody else. See, where you start doesn't have to determine where you end up, okay? Your identity is not based on your appearance, or it should not be based on your appearance or your stature or your injury or your past or the label or your name that was given to you. And this is what we see with Jabez. The text tells us that he was more honored than his brothers. Why? If you become more honored, it means you're overcoming. You're obviously overcoming this name, this label. You're moving past that legacy that others had maybe predetermined for him. And so, you know, he's rising above that, above what others maybe thought about him or said about him or the label that had been placed upon him. See, this is what influencers do. That's what I want us to understand. Influencers don't let labels define who they are. Influencers do not let labels define who they are. In verse 10, Jabez prays. He prays, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my horizons." And here's where I want to pause. I want us to understand. I don't think Jabez is praying for himself. I don't think this was a selfish kind of prayer. I think it's more strategic than selfish. I think it's pointing us that Jabez, he wants to grow. Not for ego, all right? Not to grow his ego, but to grow his impact, all right? To grow his influence. Enlarge my horizons. Enlarge my influence, my impact, all right? Increase, stretch my influence. Use me to make a difference. All right, it's kind of like a rubber band. You know, rubber bands, they're great. They're great little tools there. But they're only useful until what? Until you begin to stretch them, right? It's when you stretch that rubber band that it becomes, that its influence, that its impact actually grows, right? When you don't stretch it, it's not going to hold very much, okay? It's only when it begins to be stretched that it begins to make a difference. Same with us as influencers, okay? Influencers. Jabez wanted to stretch, enlarge his horizons, his influence. I mean, think about your own life. I mean, what would your prayer be to God? If you're going to ask God for something more, what would that be? And I'm not talking about, oh yeah, God, I'd like to have more money, I'd like to have more stuff. No. I'm not talking about that. Not talking about having less of, because a lot of times our prayers is, Lord, help me be less angry. Help me to, you know, to be less selfish or whatever it might be. Jabez is praying for more, okay, but not for more land or not for more stuff. I don't think he's praying for more ego, but again, more impact, more influence. So again, what would that, if you were going to pray for something more of, what would that be for you? Right? Would it be more love for people, a deeper prayer life, the courage to share your faith story with friends and maybe family? Maybe it's to have more compassion for other people, more tolerance. Maybe it's to have peace in the middle of chaos, or more confidence when everyone sort of doubts you. Maybe it's to more of a purpose that goes deeper and beyond simply popularity. See, here's the thing. Influencers, they pray, okay, for kingdom impact. Influencers pray for kingdom impact. They don't let labels define who they are. They pray for kingdom. Enlarge my horizons, my impact, my influence. Jabez goes on to pray, "Let your hand be with me and keep me from evil that I may not cause pain." Now, let me say, a lot of us, you know, we want God to bless us. Right? Enlarge my horizons, whatever it might be. The problem is, sometimes we forget for God's hand in the midst of it. And what does that mean? Well, the hand of God represents, in the Bible, God's presence, God's power, God's guidance, God's protection. And so Jabez prays, let your hand be with me. He's not saying, hey, God, make my life easier, okay? No. He's praying, God, don't let me do this without you, okay? I can't do this without you. Your hand, please be upon me. See, that's what real influence is about. It's not doing more yourself. It's about doing more with God. And there's a difference there. I mean, when we try to do it on by ourselves or rely just on ourselves, many times we get in trouble. Just look at the scriptures. Remember Saul? He's the first king of Israel. Samuel comes and anoints him as the first king of Israel. And initially he's faithful and he's going to, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And then along the way, he chooses pride over obedience and things go south. There was Solomon, King David's son Solomon. He had everything going for him. Just, he was set up nice. I mean, he even praised God, let me have wisdom. And, he's known for his wisdom and discernment and things like that. But then, after a while, though, he starts pursuing power and he starts pursuing possessions and things go south for him. Gideon. God calls Gideon to deliver Israel. And so with just 300 men, Gideon defeats the Midianites and delivers Israel. But after that, what does he do? He makes an idol from gold and he leads the Israelites into idol worship. I heard someone say once, it's better to walk with God in the dark than to walk alone in the spotlight. So Jabez, he prays for God's hand to be with him, to lead him, to guide him. And it's not a one-time situation, it's every day, in all situations and with all decisions. It's the same with us. Right? That should be our prayer, really. Part of our prayer, God, may your hand be with me today. And so as you're scrolling through all the all the social media stuff and something seems off or something's like, oh, maybe you scroll on by. Rather than clapping back in anger, you pause and you take a deep breath. When you're tired and worn out and you just want to sleep in on a Sunday morning, maybe you still choose to pray, to worship, or to show up anyway. See, Jabez prays for God's hand to guide him because influencers recognize that influencers, they rely on God's power and not their own. They rely on God's power and not their own. They pray for God's impact, for kingdom impact, okay? They don't let a label define who they are. Jabez's prayer continues, let your hand be with me and keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. And so Jabez, he ends his prayer asking for God's protection from evil and from being the cause of pain. Because Jabez, he knew what pain was like. He literally lived it, right? He just didn't want to continue to live with it. And so he's, despite the name, he's changing the narrative. God, I know what they called me. I know where I came from. But I don't want my past to define my future. And so please redeem it. See, what was negative, we see with Jabez, God transforms into something good. Or he's asking God to transform that into something good. I think about our ladies here who have graduated and who have who are now residents of the ministry called Dahlia Grove. If you don't know what that is, I invite you to check it out. We'll put the website up on the screen there for you. But Dahlia Grove, the ministry primarily works out of our campus here at St. Stephen. But it's a ministry that seeks to redeem and transform and bring healing to women who are survivors of human trafficking and domestic abuse and sexual exploitation. And so it's been amazing to see these women who've gone through this or in the midst of that and see what's happening in their lives. And what I've seen them do and seen what's happened is their pain being transformed into purpose. Their pain turning, into purpose. They're learning new skills, okay? They're redefining who they are and whose they are. And so along the way, these once broken women who've been labeled and by culture, society, other people in such a negative way, who experience such really horrible kinds of things, what are they doing? They're finding redemption, they're finding healing. And in turn, bringing that to others as well. See, all of us, we have wounds. Some of them are deep wounds, aren't they? You know, and they may be there because of decisions that we made, things that we did. The wounds may be there because of what people have done to us. But we've all been wounded. The question becomes, what do we do with those? Do we allow that wound to fester, to grow, to consume us, define us, defeat us? Or do we surrender that to God and allow God to turn that pain into purpose and to bring healing? See, even if you've been through something, something hard, you know, abuse, loss, betrayal, illness, failure. Let me tell you, that doesn't disqualify you from being a positive influence. Because it may be the very thing that God uses, right? Uses to bring something good. I mean, your story could be the key to someone else's breakthrough. See, influencers is what I want us to understand. Influencers turn pain into purpose. Influencers turn pain into purpose. So here's the deal. At first glance, no one would describe Jabez as an influencer, okay? He wasn't affecting the purchase decisions of others. He wasn't a celebrity. He had no spotlight, no platform. He didn't encourage others to do the right thing like Gamaliel did, if you were with us last week. We don't know what kind of audience he had or if he had any kind of audience at all. I mean, his name is buried deep in the genealogies there in 1 Chronicles. And yet, he's the only one in this massive genealogy that the Bible pauses to highlight. And because of it, thousands of years later, guess what? There's been books written about him. There's sermons preached on him. And I think he serves, his influence is now, he serves to remind us that influence doesn't necessarily belong to the powerful or to the famous or to the loudest voice in the room. Or that one with the most followers on TikTok or Instagram or whatever it might be. And Jabez reminds us, I think, that it can start in the quiet place of prayer. You know, labels don't define who we are. They don't have to. It does matter who you follow. We don't have to be famous or influential. We just need a heart willing to serve God. Pain doesn't cancel our purpose. Might even serve our purpose. So this week, here's what I want to challenge you, maybe to pray the prayer of Jabez. And not for personal gain, okay? It's not about that. But every day, maybe to pray this prayer, to pray it with purpose, to ask God to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others, to ask God to enlarge your horizons so that you can step into new opportunities to be, as we say here, the hands, the feet, and the heart of God. And ask God to keep his hand on you so that you don't forget where your strength comes from. To ask God to keep you from harm, not so that you can avoid pain, but so you can arise above it and lead others maybe to healing in your own life. So here's what, again, we want you to, you know, write the prayer down. Actually, we're going to put up a QR code here, and you can take your phone, you can take a picture of it. That'll take you to Jabez Prayer. You can use it as a wallpaper, you can print it out, but you can have it as a means to have it, save it on your phone, so you can just pick it up every morning and pray that prayer, though. But, you know, take a quick picture of that QR code, and there you'll have Jabez's prayer there. Because it, you know, let your influence, okay? Let the influence point others to Jesus. Because here's the thing, most all of us, we're not going to be famous, okay? But we can be faithful. And maybe that's the best kind of influence that you and I can ever have. Let us pray. Gracious God, we cry out like Jabez did. So bless us. Enlarge our influence for your kingdom, though. May your hand be upon us. Guide us, protect us, use us. Use even our pain for your purpose, O Lord. So make us influencers, not of trends, not so that we can have more followers. We're to make a buck. Make us influencers of transformation. Influencers that point others to you. For it is in your name that we pray these things. Amen.